Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Armchair Survivalist. My name is Kurt Wilson. I'm the Armchair Survivalist, and today is December 1st in the year 2019. Geez, I never thought, when I was a kid, I never thought I'd last this long. Anyway, welcome to the show. You can listen to me, you know, if you're listening to me, you obviously know one way at least how to listen to me, but I have a whole bunch of different ways. The easiest is to go to armchairsurvivalist.com and click on a chat room. And that is a permanent listening device, so to speak. You go there, you can listen. You don't have to worry about anything else. It's just internet. And I understand some smartphones can do that too. You go to armchairsurvivalist.com, click on a chat room, you can listen live. And what you're doing is listening live on the Globalstar 3 satellite feed. Now, speaking of chat room, we're going to be discontinuing the chat room because apparently what's happened is that all of the different ways I have to listen to me have taken over from people years past going in the chat room. We would have 50 to 100 people in there. Now we have 3 or 4. So it's superfluous. It's no longer necessary. You can still click on chat room. Now I'll update the website soon to where it won't say chat room. It'll say listening. You know, listen live here, blank, and click on that. But meanwhile, just click on chat room. You can go there and listen. It will not be functioning as of tonight. But there's so many different ways to listen to me. You know, there's Stitcher, Anchor, TuneIn, Wayback Machine. I'm being archived for posterity, Internet Archive. Podbean, iHeartRadio. I'm on YouTube. We've updated all of my shows on YouTube. Unfortunately, YouTube kind of jumbled them up, so you can't really listen to them in order. You can listen on a satellite system also if you have a satellite. You just tune it into Globalstar 3, and on armchairsurvivalist.com, any of the pages there, you just scroll down, and it'll show you all the different ways to listen to me. You can listen on your phone. It's not a smart thing. I mean, you can use an idiot phone, too, like I got. But you dial this number. It's not toll-free. It's 641-741-0371. That's 641-741-0371. I'm sure there's other ways. People are ingenious, and they keep finding different ways to listen to me. All right. So let's get some stuff out of the way. I own Survival Enterprises, SE1.us, survivalenterprises.com. Go there at your leisure and poke around and see the different stuff that we sell. We're closing out some items. Food tablets, they're available on the website, and you'll see it. And at armchairsurvivalist.com, I'm going to be updating the site, and I'm going to have the stuff that we're closing out posted there for everybody. Heirloom seeds. These are the seeds that Monsanto hasn't got their slimy hands on yet, so that after you've planted it and you harvest the fruit or the vegetable, you can cut it open and save the seeds and replant them later and have the same exact plant growing. So we have a bunch of heirloom seeds packaged up in number 10 cans for long-term storage. Grow-it-yourself pepper seeds, hottest peppers known to man. This is more of a... That's a gift type thing, even though we have had farmers buy these with the intention of creating a whole crop. You get a little can the size of a soup can. You follow the instructions, you add water, keep it in warmth, and then you're going to get like 5 to 10 sprouts out of it. When they get about 3 or 4 inches tall, you separate them out and replant them into larger pots. And you know, this is standard operating procedure. And you keep doing that until you can get a plant that's about 4 feet high. Just remember, when you harvest those things, wear a mask and rubber gloves. It's not much fun if you get it on your hands and then you scratch somewhere. Yeah, you'll remember this. All right, now we're also going to be, and I was a distributor for Cold Steel for many years and then dropped it off, but we're going to start carrying some a small selection of Cold Steel knives. These are some of the highest quality knives on earth. Walking sticks. Canes, and these are Cold Steel canes are not normal canes. These can be used, shall we say, in a defensive manner. And now, I'm not saying these are not the ones with the sword in the handle. These are made, some of them are made from 17 layers of Kevlar. Some of them are made from many layers of polypropylene. These things can beat a cougar to death. And we're going to be carrying some of them. I'm not going to ship them. They're going to be here in the store in Hayden, Idaho. We will be carrying some swords also, some katanas, bayonets. I was a master gunsmith for 25 years, and we sold a lot of old collectible firearms, military firearms mostly, and they came with bayonets, and I've found a stash of them. These are most of them are Mauser bayonets. So anyway, we're expanding some of the items that we're going to be carrying. I wanted to touch on the concept of Thanksgiving. People don't know where it came from. Literally, I've talked to a dozen different people in the past week who didn't know the concept where it came from. They figured the government figured it out and posted it and made it real. So let me give you some history on Thanksgiving. This is not something that popped up in the past 100 years or even 200 years. George Washington issued a proclamation on October the 3rd, 1789, designating Thursday, November 26th, as the National Day of Thanks. In this proclamation, he declared that the necessity for such a day had sprung from the Almighty's care of Americans prior to the Revolution, assistance to them in achieving independence, and help in establishing the constitutional government. So I'm going to read this to you. By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peacefully to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is a beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of His providence which we experience in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general, for all the great and various favors which He hath been pleased to confer upon us, and also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all people, by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as He alone knows to be best, given unto my hand at the city of New York the third day of October in the year of our Lord, 1789. That's when Thanksgiving was proclaimed. Then there was a problem with the dates, you know, and leap years and stuff. So 1941, the Congress, the Senate, and the President changed Thanksgiving to be the third Thursday in November. Just to let you guys know, last week, the last show was Message to Garcia. Well, I have those show notes up now. My son found something that I didn't know existed. Message to Garcia was written about a soldier named Rowan. Apparently, Rowan wrote a booklet after the war called How I Carried the Message to Garcia. I have a link to that in the show notes as well. I had typed up a message to Garcia, and I actually have that posted on the show notes, so you can read it directly there. And we got a bunch of different links up there as well. All right, let us get into the economy. There's not that much that's astounding about the economy this week, but the thing is, you know, this is another one of those warning signs. The Federal Reserve has been pumping billions of dollars monthly into the economy. That unto itself is a danger sign. they were very blunt when they came out and said, we're putting $60 billion a month, basically, into the economy just to keep it afloat so all the banks don't go bankrupt. They're doing a little more than $60 billion. They just put in $108 billion. And the month before that, it was another $100-something billion. This is getting problematic. And then you add to that the fact that the so-called Black Friday was a failure. And I don't even know if they're going to come out with the actual stats on it. Here in Coeur d'Alene area, Hayden area, northern Idaho, I drove around on Black Friday just to see what was going on. There was a lot of traffic. There were cars stopped here and there, you know, at the mall or at Walmart or Target or what have you. Was not impressive. There were no lines going down the street. There might have been 7 or 8 people in line in the morning, or 50 at Best Buy. But it wasn't as like it was hyped up to be. And it came out that the shopping increased 25% online, which means it went down 25%. That's just logical. It's just logical. So we'll see in the next few weeks what kind of economic indicators from this pop up. I do know that people are still under debt from last year, and yet they're going out and spending more money this year. That's sad. That's sad. Okay, now here's something else. Now, most of you won't care about this one. Now, I get briefings from the Department of Homeland Security and all of their under categories and departments. And one of the things that the U.S. government does in all of their departments is that they hire technical writers, people who create programs for them. And these programs are, they do all kinds of weird stuff. Whatever they do, you know, it's I don't know. But they have come across common weaknesses from people who are creating these programs. These are software errors. And they have them categorize the top 25 most dangerous software errors. Now, I'm not going to read them to you because most of you wouldn't understand them, what I read. I don't understand what I read. But there are 25 of them, and these are the ones that the U.S. government is getting people writing programs for them, and they're coming across all of these problems, and the majority of these problems will cause the program to either crash or to be liable for hacking. So just to help these people who apparently don't know what they're doing, yet they're writing programs for the government, they're writing software, they're coming up with all kinds of problems. Now, maybe they're on purpose. Maybe they're purposely trying to do this, purposely trying to crash the government's computers, or purposely trying to allow hackers to sneak in. Who knows? But now these are all linked. Everything I talk about is going to be linked. It's going to be on armchairsurvivalist.com show notes. You just go to that page and you'll find the date of the individual shows. Click on whatever one you want and we'll have all the links up. Now, my son does, when he doesn't just post the links, he also posts an archive link. Because what's happening now in this day and age, when the media is all controlled by these communistic Democrats, all media is controlled by them, including Fox News. What happens is they change the news sometimes hourly. If an article is posted that says students are rioting in New Zealand, and one of their editors goes, that's politically incorrect, we can't have it like that. So they change it. And this could happen within 30 minutes. It says student unrest in New Zealand. And then the next day, they change it again to say students upset over current government. I mean, they just change it. They change things. So he puts an archive link there that will automatically link to the original article. So you'll have the source and the time that it was written. Anyway, all of that stuff's going to be up. Okay, so now we're going to get into food and health. Now, I've talked about this before. The main protein for all Asia is pigs. That's the main source of protein, pork. They have a swine flu or a swine fever or whatever words that you want to use for it. It's affecting 40% of the pigs in China have been killed. We're talking hundreds of millions have died or been put to death because they were sick with this swine fever. This is a massive, massive threat to the food for obviously Asians, and it's coming to the United States. There's not even a question about it. Russia put up a import ban on pigs coming from China because of this. It didn't help. So the swine fever is now started up in Russia, and it started up in 5 or 6 other countries as well. It's 100% lethal. It's not like your pig gets sick and you give him a shot and he gets better. And it's communicable. 100%. So this is a big thing. Any of you out there who like bacon, stock up. You know, we do that. We get bacon on sale or something. I'll buy 100 pounds of it and just put it in the freezer. 10 years later, if I still got any, it's still good. Because you know how they do bacon nowadays. They vacuum pack it into these 12-ounce to 16-ounce packages. Another problem, and this is a precursor to the swine flu that's happening in China and around. They're on big farms. These are commercial livestock farming. Antibiotic-resistant superbugs found on farms across the world. And what happens is, and you know this, and it's not just pork. It's also cattle, and it's also chickens and turkeys. Farmers inject antibiotics into their animals not to treat something, but to prevent something. So these animals are becoming loaded with antibiotics. And what happens is the bacteria that these antibiotics are trying to fight start mutating so that it can survive against these antibiotics. And that's what an antibiotic-resistant superbug, quote-unquote, is. These are bacteria that are immune to the antibiotics that are being used. So these kind of superbugs are growing in farms all over the world. And there's a lot, the ecology of this is astounding. So let's say cattle, okay? Dairy cattle. So once a week, they give them a shot of antibiotics. This automatically. And then they milk them. And then they process the milk, and milk comes to the market. And then you buy the milk and drink it. And guess what? You now just have antibiotics in your system. And it will show up in a blood screen. So you have antibiotics in your system. So you're taking antibiotics inadvertently. So any bacteria that's in your system is going to die, most of it. And what's left is going to mutate because the antibiotics you're getting are not full strength. They're just minor strength. So this is how it passes. This is how it goes. And then on top of that, the cattle, they're in the poop, you have the antibiotic resistant bacteria, and it starts spreading from there. So this is a vicious cycle that's spreading worldwide. Now, something else just popped up in China. The fourth person to be confirmed with the plague, and this is a farmer. It's no fun. I had it. I had the plague when I was a kid, and the plague is carried in the digestive tract of fleas that live on rats, okay? Rats. So fleas that live on rats is what carries the bubonic plague. That's how I got it. We moved into a house and we slept on the floor, and I remember waking up one night and there was a rat sleeping on my chest. We're in sleeping bags and stuff, and we were very poor at that time, even poor enough, so poor we couldn't afford a bed, just sleeping bags that Grandma and Grandpa gave us. Well, I ended up with the plague. I ended up with a fever. And my mom took me to the doctor, and this was in San Mateo, California. My mom took me to the doctor, and the doctor freaked out. He closed us in a back room, my mom, me, and my sister, and made everybody leave. And then he called the law enforcement, and they came, and they took us back to our house. Cordoned off the whole city block, and every single person in that block was ordered to get antibiotics. And no doctor would come into the block. So what happens was, twice a day, we had to walk to the corner where there was a van with doctors and nurses there that would inject people. And they were dressed up in these suits, looked like hazmat spill. So we had to do that for a couple of weeks until we were clear, but it was not fun at all. But they have the fourth person in China now, in northern China, this month. Now, this problem in China is that people get sick and die all the time, and they don't go to the doctor. They don't say, this is a disease I have, my friend just died from a disease or what have you. So most of the time, they don't know how many people are dying. They don't know who's died. So it's only accidental when it pops up and they find out about it. Three other people within 250 miles of there have been diagnosed with it, but they got on antibiotics. Part of this is because of the extensive and heavy use of antibiotics worldwide. I remember years ago I was working with a woman from Iran, and she had... She said that they had pharmacies on there'd be four of them on a street in a block, and you would simply walk in and ask for a drug and they'd give it to you. If somebody ended up, she goes, yeah, if we got a sore throat, we'd go to the pharmacy and get antibiotics. And there were bodybuilders who took antibiotics 24/7. They took it for their whole life. And this is the problem. This is why disease is so rampant. And you don't hear about it. This is the big thing, is that people overuse antibiotics. And see what happens. Your body doesn't like these drugs. And your body fights them. And over time, you have to automatically, your body builds up a resistance. And you have to take more and more of them. Now, we're going to talk more about China here. This is just a disgusting thing comes out of there. There were some capsules found. Chinese-made capsules. They were found in South Korea. They had the dried flesh of babies in it. They're smuggled out of China. In China, it's believed that if you ingested the skin of newborns, you would get certain sexual prowess, you know, that kind of stuff. This is gross. I've been hearing about how various communists worldwide and in the United States have been saying for the past 6 months that cannibalism could be a way out. In fact, I even mentioned it on my show. Remember, Soylent Green is people. Well, now they're finding capsules, nutritional products that have the dried remains of infants in them. And it could be from the forced abortions that occur in China. Now, I talked last show about the E. coli infection that's occurring because of romaine lettuce that's coming out of California. It's spreading. It's getting worse, and it's getting more and more and more. Now, if you have romaine lettuce, don't think that you're safe. I just say just throw it out. Buy iceberg lettuce. And when you go out to eat, make sure they're not using romaine lettuce in the salad, because this stuff is spreading in every state now. They're starting to think that maybe it's not just from the Salinas area. Maybe it's not just, in fact, I mean, Roanoke, Virginia now has got people suffering from it. This infection is getting worse and worse, and it's going to get worse. And I've said this almost every year, and every year it gets worse and worse. E. coli comes from the intestinal tract of humans and animals. So what happens is you poop it out, and then that poop gets somehow onto the food. Even the California Leafy Greens Marketing Association is responding to this, and it's probably, and it comes out and it's saying, no, it's not all bad. You know, you can still buy our stuff and maybe you'll live. There's some more data on the e-cigs. And ladies and gentlemen, you think the e-cigarettes is helping you quit smoking from normal cigarettes. And that was the fraud that was being pushed on everyone when this stuff first came in from China. You understand the FDA has never inspected e-cigarettes. The FDA has never evaluated e-cigarettes. They didn't care because they're part of the government that gets money from imports. Now, I have a, I was updated, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. They sent me an article. This is the CDC newsroom, and you can go and this link will be up, and it'll be talking to you about all kinds of different stuff. If you want the cutting edge of what's happening with these lung problems, bottom line is this. The government's trying to figure out what is the one, what's golden bullet? What's the one thing that's causing all of this? And they're narrowing it down to vitamin E acetate, which is used in nutritional products. It's a synthetic form of vitamin E. When it's heated up and it turns into smoke or steam, it travels anywhere. And then when it cools, it hardens. Well, that's what's happening inside the lungs of everybody that smokes e-cigarettes. And it's not just with vitamin E. If you look at the ingredients, if any of you smoke e-cigs, look at your ingredients. I don't just mean read the box. You look at the box. Because you have these little tiny half-ounce or third-ounce bottles that have the liquid that you're going to atomize, that you're going to burn. So you look at that liquid and you read the ingredients, and then you go online and you look up each ingredient, and you're going to find out that all of the ingredients have the same physical phenomenon occur. Think about it. You look at the ingredients that are, it's a liquid, right? Would you take that and squirt that down into your lungs? No, you couldn't breathe. Well, what happens is you take that liquid and you're converting it into steam or smoke. And then you're sucking that down into your lungs, which then cools it and it converts back to its original state. So what you're doing is you're putting not just contaminants, but you're putting items into your lungs that will solidify or become a liquid form. It's every day, every hospital in the United States is getting people in there that have an upper respiratory disease of some kind, including pneumonia. And it turns out that these people all are using e-cigs. You know, anything that goes into your body, period, like that, whether it's tobacco or e-cigs, there's going to be repercussions. Well, I just got, my son showed me this one, Facebook. Facebook, as far as I'm concerned, and most of us, like me, are concerned, is nothing more than a government agency performing. See, big thing for a totalitarian government to take control, they have to be able to control the communication. They have to be able to control communication. Communication goes two ways. One, others to you, and you to others. So others to you would be Facebook, television, newspapers, magazines, Twitter, the internet. That's others to you. And it's easy to control it. And the big thing is that Facebook is controlling now all information on vaccines and awareness of vaccines, including facts about vaccine ingredients, which is not an evaluation, it's a statement of fact. Their Facebook is banning all content on that. Now, I'll be doing a show. I worked with Vaccination Liberation Movement, and I helped them edit a CD, which I got around here somewhere, but it's based on books. See, this vaccine thing? This vaccine is not new. None of this is new. This scam and this willingness to use injections to control the population is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old. And we have booklets that are dated back in the 1600s. And it talks about this. And I'll be doing a show on it, and I'll reference all of this stuff, and I'll even have links to where you can go and download the data yourself. But meanwhile, you're going to have to do your own research. And don't, you know, people are using Facebook as research. As research. Oh, I go, I found out about this on Facebook, and I read the ad, and then I researched on Facebook. What the hell is wrong with people? It's like Google. People started using Google for research. And you know what's going to happen. You're going to get the stuff the government wants you to have. Because who controls communications from there to you? The government. And it's not really the government like you think. These are the establishment. These are those who would control us. Now we're going into the category of Islam. So CAIR. Are you familiar? C-A-I-R. This is the Council on American and Islamic Relations. They are a known terrorist group worldwide. Yet we have them here in the United States, and our government grants them a lot of credence, just like the rest of the idiots here, the useful idiots. Well, CAIR, and they came out and said this. They said that our goal here is to get 30 Muslims elected to Congress and at least two into the Senate. They came right out and said this. Islam is not compatible in any way, shape, or form with the Constitution of the United States. In fact, Islam is not compatible with any civilized society on earth. It's not how it's broken up. All anyone has to do is read the Quran. Oh, and then you hear the argument from the atheists and the Muslims. Well, just read the Christian Bible and you see how bad and evil Christians are. No, doesn't work that way. Nowhere in the Bible does it say to cut everybody's heads off if they don't conform to Islam. But in the Quran, it does. If you want to see the truth behind Islam, this is what I think anybody should do. If you want to have an argument on Muslims and Islam, before you can have an argument, before you can develop or even contemplate speaking about it, you need to read the Quran. And then read the Hadiths. And then read some of the other writings of what the Muslims nowadays follow. But basically, Islam is not compatible with a civilized society because their whole intent is domination. That is 100% the whole intent of Islam is complete domination. And only when that occurs, this is what they claim, if you want peace, then we have to dominate everyone around because when everyone is a Muslim, then everybody's going to be peaceful. Well, that's been proven a lie because Muslims have been busy killing each other for the past 1,400 years. Since that psychotic child-raping murderer, Muhammad, came out with this fraudulent theosophy, they've been doing that. And they're going to keep doing that. People in London, very smart, very progressive people, elected a Muslim as the mayor of London. Let's see. I'm not going to read you all the stats, but I can tell you right now, stabbings have reached record highs in London. A news article comes out from Sweden, and they're talking about how 25% of the Swedish women are afraid to leave homes because too many women there are being raped, being mugged, being attacked and threatened. How would you feel if a quarter of the female population in your area were afraid to leave their home because they were afraid that one of the invaders, a Muslim, would attack them? And it's totally understandable why the antidepressant use in Sweden is up like, oh, you wouldn't believe it. There are so many people taking antidepressants now in Sweden. It's at record high. Well, that's what happens when you decide to be so tolerant and you allow the invaders in. Denmark is going to do something, and I don't see how this is going to work for them in any way, shape, or form. They have ghettos in Sweden, or I'm sorry, in Denmark. And what these ghettos are, they're all Muslim. So they had come up with this great idea. Okay. They're going to tear down these ghettos and force all these Muslims to go and live in the normal society area. In other words, you're going to have them moving in next door to you, in the apartments above you, in a house down the street from you, which should probably be paid for by your taxes. So instead of the Muslims being only in one area and making Denmark look bad, They're going to tear down these. There's 29 areas. They're going to tear down those ghettos and force the Muslims to relocate. Yeah, that's going to work really well. Some information came out this past week on one of the most hateful females in Congress, Ilhan Omar. She's a Muslim, of course. She's a Somali. She's the scum of the scum of Islam, and the scums in her district elected her. Well, there's a court case going on right now. And in this court case, they asked this one guy, he had to come forward and give information on the court case. It has nothing to do with her, except during this fact-finding stage, this guy came forward and said that this woman works for Qatar. She's a spy for Qatar. She's paid for. She was groomed and created to become a congresswoman in the United States as a spy and as a link to the Muslim Brotherhood. This is going to open a lot of information up if the mainstream media, which won't do this, I guarantee you, they won't allow this information to come into the mainstream. I'll have a link to it, and you can go and look at it. Basically, she's denying that she's a Qatari asset. You remember when Hillary Clinton said, "Oh, she works for Saudi Arabia, and she's a spy." Well, she is, but she works for Qatari. So, I don't know what's going to come of this. We'll have to wait and see. Yeah, whatever. All right, now we're going into the big category, liberal psychosis. Unfortunately for the millennials, it seems on Thanksgiving Day, Facebook and Snapchat went down. So the millennials had to actually confront their family members and communicate to people around them instead of shoving their head up their phone's port. I don't know how long it was down. Speaking of Facebook, do you recall when I talked about how there was a website that popped up and basically what it was a way for the communist Democrats to find out who in their local area had donated to Trump's campaign? Well, that got shut down in a hurry. But what's happening now are these people are creating so-called newsrooms or news websites that aren't really news websites, but what they are talking points for the communist Democrats. I don't know why I said communist Democrats, because communist Democrats are communist. But regardless, the anti-American group, they're opening up websites that do, they purport to be telling you about news articles. And what these are created so that they can be posted on Facebook. And it will give the liberals a means of entering their false data and fake news into Facebook. There's a bunch of these that are coming out. Let's see. Bloomberg, in fact, came out. There's this communist, Tara McGowan. She definitely is a communist. They call her a democratic strategist. So she created something called Courier Newsroom. And it's created to counter the right-wing echo chamber on Facebook, whatever the hell that means. But they're doing not just her one site. There's a half a dozen different websites out there that you will think are actual websites, that you will think that they're actual news. They're not. Basically, what these people do is they get their talking points from a communist organization, and this is a communist organization, called the Daily Kos, K-O-S, dailykos.com. I've talked about them before. They're the ones that have the, that they come out with the talking points for the Democrats. You'll see it on there first. Now, they don't know this, but I'm a member of the Daily Kos. I'm a member of MoveOn.org. I'm a member of about a half a dozen different communist organizations, and I get information from them all the time. You're going to have to be real careful. You people out there that go to Facebook and you look at it as if, and you grant credence to it. You say, oh, I saw an article on Facebook, so it's got to be real. I spent a couple years straightening my wife out on that. Now, if she sees an article, she sends it to me and says, verify this, please. 99% of all the articles she sends me are fraudulent. Or maybe they might have a little particle truth in them. But if it's on Facebook, you can be pretty sure that something is left out. Granted, there are some truth on Facebook, but good luck trying to find them. Let's see. Now, we're still under the liberal psychosis, all right? So here's a thing. There's this left-wing, what you call a think tank, is what they call it. They published a study on firearm homicides. Yeah, in the U.S., of course. And the idea was to discredit all of us Americans who own guns and the NRA and all of this stuff. Well, now, I'm just going to make a little synopsis of this so that you can go and look at it yourself. And they came out and they said that in most areas, the underprivileged suffer more from gun violence. Remember this term, gun violence. Violence, okay? Remember that. Because that's going to pop up in another article. Gun violence. And it turns out that 75% of the gun violence is created by blacks on blacks. This is the stats that they came out with, so they had to squash the article as quickly as possible. But no, it got saved. People archived it and pulled it up so you can see the truth of it. And what it is wherever there's large amounts of Democrats and wherever the Democrats have put the blacks back on the plantation, like Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Missouri, Maryland, Washington, D.C., there's more murders there than any other place. Idaho's down at the bottom. And the funny thing is, almost everybody in Idaho carries a gun. So facts are very foreign to the left side of most people's brains. You know, Virginia was taken over by the Democrats. Mike Bloomberg spent millions and millions and millions of dollars to buy the legislature. He didn't buy it for himself. You see, he did it because it's what he's doing to help mankind. So he paid for all of these legislators, and the Democrats now are in charge. They're getting ready to pass all kinds of laws starting the beginning of the year. There are so many gun laws and others, and you're going to find out that it's in psychotic mode right now. So, and I have a link to this, and there's a, let's see, SB 16. It's going to be a ban on all semi-automatic firearms. There's other ones. I'm not going to waste my time with it. Because the people, the gun supporters, in other words, the Americans in Virginia are up in arms about it, so to speak. And they're threatening and promising to defy any new laws. As a matter of fact, there are sheriffs in Virginia now that have already come out publicly and stated they will not enforce unconstitutional gun laws. Amelia County, Sheriff Ricky Walkers, he's saying it's clear. It's very clear. He will enforce only constitutional law. Now, here's another one of these psychotic laws that some Democrat in Virginia is going to push forward. SB 64. Okay. SB 64 bans, it will be banning all type of martial arts instructions. You can't get together and train. Person shall be guilty of unlawful paramilitary activity, punishable as a class 5 felony. If he teaches or demonstrates to any other person the use, application, or making of any firearm, explosive, or incendiary device or technique capable of causing injury or death to persons. All right, you got that? Teaches or demonstrates to any other person. So if I was to make do a demonstration of some Tai Chi, well, I'm guilty under a class 5 felony. This is in Virginia. Virginia is getting as stupid as Texas is, passing all these insane laws. Oh, but that's nothing. Wait till if Sleepy Joe gets elected. He came out. Well, first off, he said he wanted to ban guns that have a magazine with 100 clips in it. Okay. Well, now he's decided he wants to ban all 9mm pistols, except in the military. That means civilians or law enforcement can't carry 9mm pistols. You know, aside from that being insane and typically stupid of a Democrat, when I was young, they had this thing called a Saturday Night Special. And what that was is a cheap $50 pistol. And they were usually 25 ACP or 22 caliber pistols. Real cheap pistols, right? I've sold thousands and thousands of them in my day. Well, the government put a ban on them, not really a ban, more like a control on them. So the availability of these so-called Saturday Night Specials started to dry up. So what happened then? Now, see, Saturday Night Special, it's just like a little pistol that would fit in your pocket, okay? Well, because the little 22s and 25s weren't as much available as they used to be, then the criminals started buying 9mm and 38 Specials and 357 Magnums and 45s and anything else they can get their hands on. So instead of just wounding somebody, they blow their head off now. That's what happened when the government steps in. Now, there's an article here about how people are getting dumber by the day, which is very much easy to see. In fact, I just had an 80-year-old man walk in the store during a lunch break, and he was telling me, I don't understand, is this people are getting dumber by the day? And I kind of smiled because I'm looking at this article, and the writer is saying that there's a bunch of students at Notre Dame flying these banners saying, end the hate at Notre Dame. End the hate. Well, what's hate? Well, this is an initiative that the students are pushing, organizing civil action against racist, sexist, trans exclusionary, and queer phobic structure at the school. First off, nobody really knows what the hell that means. And this is just another one of these social justice warrior snowflake crap that the millennials are pushing. They also want to decolonize America, whatever the hell that means. I mean, you got these people who are out-and-out cowards, but not like you think. They're cowards because they can't take, they have no tolerance whatsoever for an alternative viewpoint. They're not necessarily cowards in that they're afraid to confront somebody, because they're entitled. And in their entitlement mentality, they are right, and everybody else is wrong, and as long as they're right and stand up to hate, which is be anyone that's not them, then they're in the right and they won't be hurt. I have seen it, and you probably have seen it also, where the little smartass comes up to a big bodybuilder and says, "You are transphobic, and you hate people, and you're this, and you're a right wing racist, blah 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 blah." And the big guy says, "You know, if you don't go away, I'm going to have to slap you." And eventually, the little twerp gets in the big guy's face really hard, and the big guy knocks him down. This is what's happening. These people are getting stupider and stupider, and more and more abusive, and more dangerous because of that. And it gets to the point now where a major poll has found that 42% of millennials would elect a socialist. Do you know what most of these people think socialism is? Is the ability to use Facebook. Because it's a social site, right? Social. Now, under the liberal psychosis, this category, we find this the liberal psychoses over on GoFundMe. A research was done. There are over 26,000 females seeking funds for breast removal because they've been convinced that they're not female, they're male in a female's body, so they need to remove those things that are female. Over 26,000 of these people are on GoFundMe trying to get money to have their, I don't know how else to put it, boobs removed. Then you have a teacher. This is the same teacher that brought to school a drag queen and says that parents do not have the right to have a final say in how their children are raised. It's society's job. It's the job of the school. I believe that raising a child is a responsibility of the community and that parents should not have the final say. Let's be honest. Some of you don't know what's best for your kids. This is the arrogance that we have to contend with in the United States right now. And especially in schools. Schools gotten to the point where they are nothing more than a propaganda arm for the powers that would control us. And I can't really say for the government, but let's just say for the deep state. Because it doesn't matter who's the figurehead of the government. Because this deep state has their goals, and their goals are the eradication of anything that has to do with white or Christian or founding fathers or America. And there was a gentleman that went on. He did a survey at a school. Now, you're going to love this. He did this survey at a Christian school.
We're here today at McAllister College, a small Christian private school in Minnesota, asking students if it's okay to celebrate Thanksgiving.
Leaning towards no. I feel like with, you know, the historical context and kind of the really awful oppression of, you know, indigenous people, like the holiday is really like praised by, I think, people more on like the conservative side of things to like uphold that sort of tradition.
The original, like the celebrating a feast, really isn't, because of the notions of what the actual holiday was?
Well, I mean, the entire thing is sort of based off of Indigenous peoples and the murder of Indigenous peoples in history.
Not really, but what do Americans do except for celebrate unethical holidays?
What other holidays are unethical?
Columbus Day, Christmas break. It should be labeled as like winter break in general, but most schools are celebrating as Christmas break.
Sure. Do you celebrate these holidays?
More or less.
Is it okay to celebrate Thanksgiving?
No. Yeah, it's probably not as bad as Christmas or Easter, but like, I don't know. So
you think Christmas and Easter are worse than Thanksgiving?
Yeah, definitely. I don't celebrate Christmas and Easter. I'm pretty anti-religious, so I think that they're just like...
Why are you at a religious school then? There's a church right over there.
It's true. It's true. It's a good point.
Is it okay to celebrate Thanksgiving?
I think it's okay as long as your values are in the right place. So the history of the holiday is obviously not the best, and it's very violent and oppressive. But if you are celebrating like the value of gratefulness and friendship and love and family, then I think that's a different story.
We've been hearing from a lot of students that they won't be celebrating Thanksgiving because of the history of the holiday. How do you respond to that?
I see it more as like a time to spend like time with your family and like to enjoy like being together and be thankful for that rather than for like what the actual history of it is.
Okay. Is it okay to celebrate Thanksgiving?
I would think it depends, just because all the education that we've gotten in public school has only told like the side of the story from like the white colonizers.
So what do you think the real Thanksgiving story is?
I think the real Thanksgiving story, I don't know what it is because I wasn't there and because I don't have all the historical information.
I mean, the public school education tells you that Thanksgiving was this great meeting where, you know, the Native Americans showed the pilgrims how to, you know, grow corn. And obviously that's not true. But what legitimately happened on Thanksgiving, I have no idea.
We've been hearing from a lot of students that it's not ethical to celebrate Thanksgiving. What's your response to this?
Well, there's a lot of American holidays in which, like, which are based on like our oppression of other people. So like if that's the case, like we shouldn't celebrate the 4th of July or like a lot of other holidays. Or like we shouldn't get time off for like Christmas because that's a Christian holiday. But even other religions get time off for that. So like that's just like a slippery slope at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah. How do you plan to celebrate Thanksgiving this year?
Eating with my family. Yes, eating with my family, watching football.
I remember back where they used the term, or I used the term gun violence, and I said, pay attention to that, that word violence. You're going to have the joy now of actually watching while the Democrats change another word in the English language to mean what they want it to mean, not what the definition of it is. Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, sent out a tweet. And you're going to love this. Traffic violence kills thousands and injures even more Americans every year. On World Day of Remembrance for traffic crash victims, I'm sending my love to the families and friends of those who have lost loved ones. It's time to end traffic violence. All right, you see that? What they're doing now, and I've already been informed by the Daily Kos and a few other communist organizations that they're going to be working on the concept and understanding of the word violence. They're going to pervert it to mean deaths. Do you understand that? So the word violence is going to end up being defined as deaths. So gun violence, and violence has its own definition. This is getting... What can I say? I can't say it's getting strange because it's already strange. And now strange is South Dakota spends nearly $500,000 on an anti-meth ad campaign. Okay? Do you hear about this? This is big. I mean, they spend $500,000, and they got another $1.5 million to push it. Here, you're going to love this. This is it. It's meth. We're on it. South Dakota has decided that everybody in South Dakota is on meth. I guess that's what it means. I don't know. I'm one of those people that look at the words and I go, oh, this is what these words mean. So, okay, let's see. Still under liberal psychosis. Who's in charge of the U.S. Army now?
The U.S. Army forced cadets at Temple University to participate in a feminist campaign based around the completely debunked and fraudulent college rape culture myth by wearing spray-painted red high heels. And they were basically told that if they didn't participate, their careers would be over. This has emerged out of a Reddit post from a cadet who participated in the event. Here's his text message. Tomorrow morning, our entire battalion is doing this walk a mile in our shoes event where we all walk a mile with bright red high heels in place of our boots to promote awareness for sexual abuse on campus. Attendance is mandatory. So he basically says that he was forced to go out and buy a pair of female shoes, high heels, spray paint them red. He ends the text by stating, "This is hands down the stupidest thing I've done." And basically this was then confirmed by other cadets who were forced to participate. It was pretty much, "Do this or we'll kill your career before it even starts." I mean, seriously, who in the hell is running the US Army? Imagine what ISIS is thinking when they see this. Imagine what the Russian military is thinking when they see this. They must be rolling around on the floor, laughing their heads off.
Now, I talked about last show, I talked about how Chick-fil-A has ceased to donate to any Christian organizations. Well, they also donate to the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is the most anti-Christian organization out there. Chick-fil-A has gone off the deep end. I did some research on it, and I can't find the why. All I know is that not only has Chick-fil-A abandoned donations to Christian groups, including the Salvation Army, it's now donating to anti-Christian organizations. This is a you Christians out there need to find another fast food place than Chick-fil-A, because they're gone. They're now considered treasonous to Americans and Christians. Yeah, let's see. Now we're going to get into Trump. Well, the first thing I'm going to do every show, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to tell you, there's a website, MAGAPIL.com, which lists all of President Trump's accomplishments. And as he does things, they add them to there. So if you want ammunition to argue back against the communists that tell you, oh, no, Trump hasn't done anything for anybody, well, there you go. You can pick and choose, or you can say, here, go here. But don't tell them to go there and look, because they won't. The truth is something that is abhorrent to them. So anyway, the link will be there, armchairsurvivalist.com. I'll have the link there for you so that you can, it'll be available. And it's going to be a sticky post. That's what they call it. So that you can go, every one of my show notes is going to have this on the top of his little section. Let's see. This is cool. See, when an alien comes into the United States as a student, they're given a student visa. And this visa allows them to go to the school for X amount of time. Like if it's a two-year school, then they can go for 2 years. Or four-year, they can go for 4 years. They have to renew it. Or continue going to school. So ICE put together a fake university. And the idea was to catch aliens who were illegal in the country and whose visas had run out, or who wanted to create a phony profile to where they could get another visa. So they created this phony university where they never had to show up. They never had to do anything, just pay money. And they'll be listed as students there. And so it's obviously they were performing in an illegal manner. Well, so far they caught 250 of these illegals that way. It's really upsetting a lot of the communists out there. Let's see. A Guatemalan woman who a few years ago, she wasn't illegal, and she was driving a school bus in 2008, actually, and she killed four kids. And she was caught and deported. Well, guess what? She's back in the country. She just got caught and deported again. Here is Trump, one of the big things about conservative presidents is they get to appoint judges. Well, Trump's doing the best he can. See, he doesn't do any research on these people. He doesn't personally say, well, here's Fred Lipschitz. Let me check him out and see what his credentials are. He lets his staff do it. And what is his staff? These are the deep state. His staff comes up with a guy who is to be in the Ninth Circuit. Now, what is the Ninth Circuit Court? These are the most liberal judges around. And Trump's trying to get judges in there to take the place of other ones. So they come across this guy, Patrick Bumate, for the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Well, American Family Association just came out with a big warning. The guy is he's a sexual deviant. He promotes perversion. He's part of the log cabin Republicans. He has marched with Department of Justice Pride, which is a group of deviants in the Department of Justice. The guy is anti-Christian, and he is pro-homosexual 100% of the way. So this guy he should not be put in there. His name is Patrick Bumate. I'll have a link to it. Tell your senators, do not put him in there. Do not put him in. By the way, on Trump's website, you can still go buy the bullshit T-shirt. You know what? I have a sign in my store. I have a couple hundred Trump hats, 2020 Trump hats in my store. And this sign is advertising them. They're only $15 a piece. It says, why wait till next year? Trigger a liberal today. And it's the same thing. Bullshit. A T-shirt with the word bull, a dash, and a picture of the Google-eyed pencil neck. Well, it's funny. So the president, you know how for 30 years now, all presidents have had this thing of pardoning turkeys. Now, in the old days, the presidents would eat them, but now they pardon them. So Trump decided when there were two turkeys, there's bread and butter, were put to him, this is what he said about it.
The beautiful feathered friend, the noble turkey. And that's a beauty. Today I will issue a pardon to a pair of very handsome birds, Butter and his alternate Bread. Thankfully, Bread and Butter have been specially raised by the Jacksons to remain calm under any condition, which will be very important because they've already received subpoenas to appear in Adam Schiff's basement on Thursday. It seems the Democrats are accusing me of being too soft on turkey. But Bread and Butter, I should note that unlike previous witnesses, you and I have actually met. It's very unusual. In any event, I expect this pardon will be a very popular one with the media. After all, turkeys are closely related to vultures.
I thought you'd like that. Anyway, all right, now we're getting into the government threat. See, and this has nothing to do with Trump. This is why Trump is in trouble so much, is because of the deep state. And here's one of the problems. You have agencies within the United States government, which has departments. And we're talking thousands. It's hard to figure them all out. But you get people in all of these agencies and all of these departments whose whole life has been existing in that agency, and when somebody comes along and threatens it. See, the majority of government workers, now I used to think otherwise, but now I know better. The majority of government workers are not in it for the society. They're not in it for the people. They're in it for themselves. So they will lie, cheat, steal, and commit felonies so that they can keep their job because, well, that's what supports them. We have the largest deep state organization in the world called the Department of State. Now I have, and this is real because the majority of the problems that Trump has been having comes out of the Department of State and their departments. I have a org chart. It's an organizational chart that shows the different agencies that are below the Secretary of State. And these are, each one of these has their own departments under them. So there's like 50 of them. And then you have another 50 under each one of them. So you'll have the ability to do this yourself and go and look, and you'll see the Department of State, who's under it, what's going on, why is it like this? Bureaus and offices. I have a link to the state.gov. This is the deep state. This is one of the main agencies of the deep state, of those that want to control the rest of us. This is a disgusting thing that the U.S. government has become so large and self-serving that it's almost like a perpetual motion machine. Once you get it going, it never stops. But I have links to all of that. And there's an expose on this. They're all government agencies are the deep state. Even the FBI is part of it. In fact, one of the lawyers, FBI lawyers, he altered information that allowed a FISA warrant to be issued to spy on candidate and then President Trump. This lowlife piece of lukewarm canine excrement started this. And he tweeted at that time, "I have initiated destruction of the Republic." His name is Kleinsmith. Meadows Kleinsmith. Kevin Kleinsmith, I'm sorry. Kevin Kleinsmith. He altered the documents so that the FBI could get the FISA warrant. And the FBI knew this. They tried to keep his name anonymous, but David Horowitz, the IG, found out about it. And they're checking on it. You know, the problem is the IG's office is under the State Department. So what does that mean? It means everybody's thinking, well, okay, so the Inspector General's findings on all of this Russian hoax and everything else is supposed to be released on December 9th. Well, they're already expecting it to be a softball and expecting it not to be valid. And I don't expect it to show. Why would the guy not bite the hand that feeds him? But if he came out and said the truth of what's happening and what has happened, it would literally destroy many agencies in the U.S. government. Well, let's see. Amazon Ring. You know that the doorbell that you can buy? Costco sells it. And Black Friday had them cheap as hell. You put it on your front door, hook it up to your internet, and you can, from anywhere in the world, see who's at your front door and talk to them. Well, law enforcement in the United States, as soon as this thing was put up, as soon as the Ring started to sell, law enforcement started sending out letters to people locally saying, we know you have a Ring. Would you like to be included in our Watchmen series, you know, where you allow us access to your doorbell so that we can watch for you and make sure you're not being robbed, or, you know, some such garbage. They have different excuses for each one. The people next door to us put a Ring up, and they got a letter that said the same thing. My first thought was, who the hell gave the police the information that I bought something? Well, what's happening is the law enforcement is using your doorbells to look for peoples that they think are suspicious. Well, it's like this. So, facial recognition, right? Okay, so let's just say that I committed a crime and I'm on the run. Well, the government has pictures of me, so they know what I look like. And so what they do is, using facial recognition software, they monitor all of these Ring devices that are active. And if they find me, it pings the law enforcement. So we are stupidly helping our government monitor us. Hey, you guys that were doing the Black Friday buying and stuff, and you went out and you go, oh, look at that smart TV, that 64-inch smart TV for $325. Holy crap, I should buy two of them. Or you can get, and it was $79 for a 32-inch smart TV. That is cheap. That is so cheap, it's ridiculous. Well, you know why they're cheap? It's because as soon as you boot it up into your router and give it access to the internet, that works both ways. And now the smart TV is watching you, is listening to you, and is monitoring your watching, what you're watching, when you're watching, how much you're watching, how often you change the channel. what you say about certain shows, and then they're selling all of this data. This is the reason smart TVs are so cheap, because Vizio and Samsung, and there's a bunch of them, this is what they do. Once you access the internet from your smart TV, well, let's give it like this. This guy decides to do a test on his router. And, you know, if you go onto your router, you will see what machines are accessing your router. And you can see the MAC addresses. You can see this is my tablet. This is my cell phone. This is the TV. This is my computer. This is my wife's laptop. So you'll see all of these different units. And you can also test and see how often they ping, access the internet. So this guy does this, and he sees that his television is accessing the internet and sending data 10 times more often than any other electronic device that he has in his house. So nothing's free, and that's basically it. You know, it's like going on the internet. I went on the internet and I bought some cat food. 2 days later, I'm on eBay looking up something. And they on the right-hand side of eBay, now they have these little ads that pop up from Google. And here's this ad for cat food popping up on eBay from Google. They sell the data. All of these companies sell your personal data. That's how they make a lot of money. That's why Chewy.com doesn't charge for shipping, which sells dry cat food and dry dog food and wet food and all of this stuff. They don't charge for shipping. It's free. Because they make it up in selling ad revenues. They're selling to different companies what you bought. All right, so now we're going to do another episode or another installment of The Way to Happiness. I'm doing a precept of each week there's 21 precepts. And a precept is a guiding principle or rule that's used to control, influence, guide, or regulate conduct. Now, by the way, all of these precepts have public service announcements with them. So there's 21 of them, and I'm going to have them all posted so that you can see them, and they're pretty funny. They get to the point real fast, and they're only 60 seconds long. So on the website, armchairsurvivalist.com, go to show notes, pick the date, and it will be there so that you have access and you can look at the PSA. All right, we're number 9, don't do anything illegal. Illegal acts are those which are prohibited by official rules or law. They're the product of rulers, legislative bodies, and judges. They're usually written down in law codes. In a well-ordered society, these are published and made known generally. In a cloudy and often crime-ridden society, one has to consult an attorney or be specially trained to know them all. Such a society will tell one that ignorance is no excuse for breaking the law. Sound familiar? Any member of society, however, has a responsibility, whether young or old, for knowing what their society considers to be an illegal act. People can be asked. Libraries exist where they can be looked up. An illegal act is not disobedient to some casual order like go to bed. It's an action which, if done, can result in punishment by the courts and state. When one does something illegal, small or large, one is laid open to an attack by the state. It does not matter whether one is caught or not. When one does an illegal act, one has weakened one's defenses. Almost any worthwhile thing one is trying to accomplish often can be done in perfectly legal ways. The illegal route is a dangerous and time-wasting shortcut. Imagined advantages in committing illegal acts usually turn out not to be worth it. The state and government tends to be a rather unthinking machine. It exists and works on laws and codes of laws. It's geared to strike down through its channels at illegality. As such, it can be an implacable enemy, adamant on the subject of illegal acts. The rightness and wrongness of things do not count in the face of laws and codes of laws. Only the laws count. When you realize or discover that those about you are committing illegal acts, you should do what you can to discourage it. You yourself, not even a party to it, can yet suffer because of it. The firm's accountant falsifies the books. In any resulting commotion, the firm could fail and you could lose your job. Such instances can grossly affect one's own survival. As a member of any group subject to laws, encourage the clear-cut publication of those laws so they can be known. Support any legal political effort to reduce, clarify, and codify the laws that apply to that group. Adhere to the principle that all men are equal under law a principle which, in its own time and place, the tyrannical days of aristocracy, was one of the greatest social advantages in human history and should not be lost sight of. See that children and people become informed of what is legal and what is illegal, and make it known, if by as little as a frown, that you do not approve of illegal acts. Those who commit them, even when they get away with them, are yet weakened because the might of the state. The way to happiness does not include the fear of being found out. All right, this is the season, 'tis the season, that people get sick more often than other parts of the year. The quote-unquote holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, these are times when people generally end up with flus and colds and sicknesses more so. Now, that could be framed as a psychological problem, and I've seen it framed as such because, well, we're around our family members more so during this part of the year than other parts of the year. I mean, you travel thousands of miles to go visit your parents or your brothers and sisters, and what happens is you hearken back to the days when your parents were always fighting, or when your brother was always kicking your butt, or whenever, you know, there's problems that you have, interpersonal problems. So these are mental problems that pop up, and they influence your well-being. That's just an idea. It's something to look at. But what happens now is that there are pathogens out there that are just waiting for a reason to come and attack you. What is a pathogen? Pathogen is a microbe in biology. It's basically, in the oldest and broadest sense, it's anything that can produce a disease. It refers to an infectious agent or just simply a germ. But basically, a pathogen is virus, bacteria, protozoan, prion, fungus. So these are the things in this universe that can affect you and oftentimes cause a detrimental reaction. If your natural immune system is strong enough, then you can come into an area that has a lot of bacteria around, and your immune system is going to handle it just fine. Unfortunately, there's very few like that on Earth right now because of the crap we eat, the crap we drink, the crap we breathe, chemtrails, the contaminants in the water. I mean, it is all of this stuff. So there's a lot of pathogen out there that can affect us adversely. Anything from a common cold to sinusitis to earaches to digestive problems. There's a lot of these little things that affect humans, and there are ways to help you handle them. Now, there's two ways you handle your health. One is preventative. You do things so that you don't get affected, and the other is treatment. So you do things to treat these problems that you have. And we have one of the big problems, and this has been getting worse and worse for the past 20 years, are these so-called superbugs. The bacteria that's growing. Well, let me give you an idea. Do you know what MRSA? MRSA is a flesh rotting disease. Do you know where you get it? You get it in two places: doctor's office or a hospital. Why is this? You've been in any doctor's office, you're going to see them using a hand sanitizer over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Doctors walk into a new room to see a patient. First thing they do is and put it on, rub their hands with it, right? And what do they do when they leave? They go and wash their hands. And then they rinse this down the drain. What happens is the bacteria that's in the drain has been getting inoculated with this hand sanitizer, which is making the bacteria grow stronger. Now you have a super bug. And face it, I've been in many doctor's office, many dentist's office, many hospitals, that they aren't that competent when it comes to cleanliness. I was in an emergency room at one time with a friend of mine. And while I'm waiting for the doctor, I'm looking down on the floor. I just take my hand and wipe it on the edge of the floor, and it comes up black from dirt and filth on the floor. So this is happening all over the United States. And of course, it's happening worldwide, but I don't care. I only care about the United States problems. So what we want to do is I want to talk to you about things that can kill pathogen. Now, yes, you can go buy antibiotics, you can buy drugs, you can do all of that stuff, but here's the thing. Your body doesn't like any of that. It'll use it sometimes, but mostly it hates it. So it builds up, your body builds up a resistance to antibiotics. I've seen people who had the standard pneumonia. They've had it for a dozen times. And the standard antibiotics that is used to treat their pneumonia no longer works because their body's built a resistance up to it. There are some products, and my store, Survival Enterprises, carries some of them. But I wanted to talk to you about these things because this is something everybody should have. I go through this a lot. I take a series of things. I have people who I've helped that take these things, and they don't get the diseases. They don't get the sicknesses like everybody else does. The first one on the list here is oregano oil. Oregano oil, basically, true oregano oil comes from Turkey. It is the oldest known antibiotic to man. It's mentioned in the Bible as hyssop. The old days, thousands and thousands of years ago, what they would do is they would take an oregano bush and they would boil it, leaves and all. And then they would filter it out and leave a pot of it at the front and rear doors, or if it's just one door, at the front. And what you would do would be anoint yourself before entering a household. Now, anoint does not mean what you think. Anoint means reverently clean. So they would dip their hands in it, and then they would wash their feet in it. Now, just doing that killed all the pathogen on their hands and feet, because there's nothing that can live in oregano oil. We did a test at Stanford University. This is 25 years ago, and they tested about 30 different pathogen. And they have these little petri dishes, right? And the scientist took a toothpick, and he dipped it, and he did the test with our oregano oil, because ours comes directly from Turkey. It's not diluted. You cannot use it straight. You have to dilute it. And he dipped a toothpick in there, and he touched each petri dish. He used a different toothpick each time. Can you imagine how small an amount of oregano oil is on the tip of a toothpick? In less than 30 minutes, every pathogen was dead. It doesn't matter whether it was a bacteria or a virus. It killed it. So, the oregano oil can be used many different ways. Now, I use it as a preventative. And you can use it internally and externally. Internally, you have to dilute it, and you put it like maybe you cut it maybe 5-1, 10-1. Even children can take this stuff, and you take it, and you take your whatever your dose is going to be, and you put it under your tongue, and you let it hold. You let it sit there for, you know, like 10 seconds or so. Then you drink it down with a little bit of water. Now, what this does is it goes into your system. It does not interfere with your immune system whatsoever. It finds pathogen and kills it. See, what happens to people's immune system is that pathogen attack the immune system, or the immune system isn't strong enough to attack the pathogen, but it's going to try anyway. And when it does and fails, it gets weaker. That's why the oregano oil bypasses all of that and goes directly to the antagonist and wipes it out. So I take it every morning. I take it every single morning, and I just don't get it's been a dozen years since I got quote-unquote sick. I don't get the colds. I don't get flus. You know, so that's using it internally as a preventative. Now, you can use it as a treatment also if you get sick, depending on what you get. Now, if you get like a cold or a flu type thing, then you're going to up the dose. You're going to be taking it instead of once a day, you'll be taking it like once every 2-3 hours. Or once every hour. The herbologist that I learned from, when I asked him, how do you know when you're done taking it, you know, when you're treating something, he goes, you take it every hour until you forget. Literally, that's what he said. Every hour till you forget. Okay. If you have an upper respiratory problem, if you have sinusitis, if you have pneumonia, if you have pneumonia, get your ass to the hospital. Don't screw around. And you come into my store, and if you're sick like that, I'm going to chase you out. I'm physically going to take you to the hospital or order you to go there, because this is not something you want to play with in any way, shape, or form. In a grid-down situation, when the Schumer's hit the fan, yes. But when you have option of going to the doctor and getting put on some super heavy antibiotic like Cipro or something like that, do it. So get under care of a doctor if it's that bad. Yeah, there's people who just flat won't go to a doctor. That's fine. What you do is you take the oregano oil and you take a coffee cup half full of boiling water. If you're going to use the straight oregano oil, you put a drop. Now, that's singular drop. And don't think that you're a macho man, you can do two or three or four drops. No, a drop. Now, if you're going to do the diluted version of our oregano oil, which you would dilute yourself, then you can put in like two or three drops. But coffee cup half full of boiling water, one drop of the straight oregano oil. Then now, you don't have to stir it, because the instant it hits the boiling water, it's going to, and it's going to go into the, it's going to mix up. Put a towel over your head and then start breathing the fumes. You breathe in the nose and out the mouth, and in the mouth and out the nose, deeply. Your first breath or first two breaths, you are going to cough and sneeze, and it's going to burn like hell. So just get used to it, and you can get used to it real fast. Have some toilet paper or Kleenex near you, because you will be cleaned out. It's going to clean out your nose. You want it deep in your lungs. You want it deep in your sinuses. Now, if you have skin problems, like skin tags or visible melanoma or warts, or moles, I've taken the straight oregano oil on a Q-tip and coated those things, and they will disappear. We had a guy here, when he came in, this is a few years ago, he came in and he had it looked like a red pea on the right-hand side of his nose, on his tip of his nose. And it was the size of a pea. And I said, what is that? And he said, it's a cancerous thing, and I'm not sure what to do, because the doctor says, yeah, he can take it off, but unfortunately, it's going to have to take off half of my nose with it. I said, well, why don't you try this oregano oil? So he did exactly like I said. Every morning and every night, he would coat it with the oregano oil, and then he'd put a little dot Band-Aid on there. He said he was doing that for about 2 months, and then him and his wife, and then he left, all right, and he came back a couple months later. And he said, we were at a theater, we're watching a movie, and it was stinging and itching, and I just started, it's under the Band-Aid. He goes, I'm kind of moving the Band-Aid around, scratching it a little bit, and the damn thing fell off in my lap. And it freaked him out, and he picked it up, and he quickly ran in the bathroom, and he looked, and there was pink skin underneath where that little thing was. So that's what it can do. So the oregano oil has many uses. If you buy it, we give you a sheet that tells you how to do it. You know what you can do is also you go to survivalenterprises.com or se1.us and go to the health department and look up oregano oil and read all about it. And you'll see. You'll figure it out yourself. But there's many uses. And you know something? I can tell you guys, this is what it's used for. Blankety-blank this or that. And you guys dream up all kinds of weird stuff. Now, I'm going to tell you this part. Don't do it. I do not recommend this. I'll tell you, it'll hurt like hell. There was a listener of mine who had cataracts. And they were bad. She was almost blind. She took the oregano oil straight. She rubbed it on her closed eyelid. She closed her eyes and rubbed it on her eyelid over there. She said an hour or so later, after she peeled herself off the ceiling, it wasn't so bad, but it stung like crazy. So she said she did that a couple times. And then one morning she woke up and she felt like she had crud in her eyes. And she went in the bathroom and washed her eyes out, and she could almost see. Apparently the oregano oil, because what people don't know is cataracts are bacterial growth. And the oregano oil killed him, and it flushed it out. I don't know. I'm just telling you what a customer said. I don't recommend you doing it, but like I said, I tell you guys how this stuff's to use, to how to be used, and you do all these weird things with it. We got people who have gingivitis, who have gum disease. They actually put their toothpaste on their toothbrush and then put a drop of the diluted oregano oil on it and brush your teeth with that. Brush your teeth, the gums, the tongue, the roof of their mouth, everything, and it kills all the pathogen in their mouths. So that's oregano oil. These are things that you should have, whether you buy them from us or not, I don't care. But these are things that you should have because they can save your life. Now we come to colloidal silver. Colloidal refers to a microscopic particle that's in a suspension in another liquid. So colloidal silver, and that's distilled water is usually what they're talking about. Colloidal silver kills all known pathogen. This is another one of these items that does a very specific job. It kills pathogen on contact. It has to contact it. It's not magical. It's not going to disperse in your whole body and do all kinds of great stuff. It's just you have to use it. It's like a tool. Use it for a specific thing. But colloidal silver, like ours is microscopic particles of silver in distilled water. Colloidal silver is used for, it cures pink eye. It's used to treat some earaches. There's a fungus that grows inside the ear canals that causes problems. It kills it. I was introduced to this stuff. This is in 96 or 95. I picked up a foot fungus in Vietnam. This is not a normal athlete's foot. Live pieces of bloody skin would peel off of my feet. My feet literally smelled like fresh sheep dung. This is how bad it was. Well, this guy comes in my store in Modesto, and he goes, "Hey, look, I heard you say that you have this problem with your feet. I want you to try this stuff." And he gives me a quart of this stuff. And I look at it, and it says, I said, "This is just water." He goes, "Yes, it looks like that. But inside of it is microscopic particles of silver." I go, "Okay, sure." I wasn't paying for it. It was just going to, he'd give it to me as a sample. And he said, "Look, here's how it works. What you have outside, you have inside. This fungus on your feet is in your blood. So you need to treat both areas at the same time. Now, it's a quart bottle, and the cap is a one-ounce cap. So, and we still use that same bottle to this day. So he said, "Okay, after your shower, what you do is you fill that cap with colloidal silver, and you have two cotton balls. You dip one cotton ball in that cap, and you scrub down your left foot. Throw that away. Dip the other cotton ball, scrub your right foot. Throw that away, and then drink what's left." So I figured, what the hell? So I did. In a week, my feet started scabbing over. Within the month, they were almost healed, and within 2 months, you couldn't tell I ever had a problem. Now, I still do that once a week, but I take the colloidal silver every single day. I don't want that thing to ever come back. We have people, if I get a sore throat, I will gargle with colloidal silver. If I have sinusitis, if I have plugged up nostrils, sinuses plugged up or something, and I don't want to mess around breathing the oregano oil, I don't have time. Well, what I do is I get a nose sprayer of Ocean. Ocean is a name brand of saline nose spray. And I don't use it. I dump it out. So a nasal spritzer, as long as it's not, didn't have chemical in it, any of the chemical that you spray for your noses, you know, that stuff, you like Sinex or anything like that, that's 100%, you will become, it's habit forming. It's 100% habit forming. Once you use it, if you stop, your nose is going to slam shut. So I go get the Ocean, I empty it out, rinse it out, and I fill it with colloidal silver. And then I spray my nostrils with the colloidal silver in that bottle. And I'll tell you what, it's ice cold. Even in the middle of summer, that colloidal silver liquid is ice cold. And you get it up in your sinuses, it cleans them right out. It's astounding how this stuff actually works. This is another one of those, I tell you what it's for, but you guys do weird stuff. We've got this really, really nice woman in Memphis, Tennessee. And some years back, she called me on a phone and she goes, I've done my research and I think that yours is the highest quality there is out there, the colloidal silver. I want a bottle of it. I have breast cancer. And I said, well, I'm not going to tell you it's going to cure your cancer. She goes, honey, I just want to buy it from you. That's all. You don't need to tell me anything. I go, okay. So I sold it to her. 2 months later, she calls me back up. She goes, I want 5 gallons. I go, really? She goes, yep, I cured my cancer. I go, you did? How did you do that? She goes, well, I used yours colloidal silver. And because I'm diabetic, I have these syringes. And I took your colloidal silver and I injected it directly into the lumps inside my breast. Oh my, that just made my teeth grit. I could not believe that. And she said it killed it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. I got nothing left. I went to the doctor, had another mammogram. There's not a damn thing left in any way, shape, or form. She has become our best salesperson ever. We sell the colloidal silver in quarts, 2 gallons, and 5 gallons. And she buys 5 gallons once every few months, and she'll portion it out into smaller containers, and she'll give it to people that are ailing. Her church, before anybody comes in the church, she actually puts an eyedropper of it on their tongue. This colloidal silver does all kinds of stuff. We've had people use it on their babies' bottoms when they get real rasty. They just wipe it down with the colloidal silver, and it kills the rash. We have it in our cat every day. After I'm done with my shower, the cat wants his water. So I put some cold, ice cold water in the sink, you know, a little half an inch, and he'll sit there waiting for me to put a tablespoon of colloidal silver in the water, and then he bends over and starts drinking his water every single day. We have people that raise pygmy goats up here and what do they call it? Pygmy horses, tiny horses. And they used to have these diseases that they couldn't get rid of. So they use colloidal silver in their drinking water now, and their animals' health is astounding. They're no longer getting sick. We have, back to the oregano oil, I forgot about this. We had an Amish farmer in Wisconsin, and this guy is 86 years old, and he has 12 cows, and he milks them twice a day by hand. And they had some kind of disease on their teats. So what he did, he dreamed this up. I didn't come up with the idea. He went and got some bag balm. It comes in that square green tin. And he heated it up and poured it into a pot. And then he took a whole bottle of the oregano oil. And he dumped it into the pot and mixed it in with the bag balm. And then he poured it all back into the tin and let it harden. And every morning on the way out, he'll take a little bit of it and rub it onto his hands. And then when he goes and milks the cows, it in turn gets wiped onto the cow's teats. Well, that disease disappeared. And it hasn't come back. And this is what he's been doing for so many years now. It's ridiculous. But see, you know, I come up with the ideas and of what this stuff is supposed to be for. And you guys come up with your own ideas of what it's really for. And which is fine by me. You know, it's like a car. What you want to do with it is you do with it once you buy it. Okay, now there's another product. And this is a good one. It's called tea tree oil. This comes from one place on earth. And that's in Australia. You will find all kinds of multi-level marketing companies claiming that they have the best, they have their own plants, plantations. That's all bogus. That's all fraud. It comes out of Australia, and everybody's tea tree oil is the same. So you just need to look at the price. That's it. We sell it just $10 a bottle. Walmart sells it $10 a bottle, or $8 a bottle on sale. But what it is, it comes from the tea tree. There's a long Latin name, which I'm not going to get into. But it kills fungus. It kills fungus. It was used, the Aborigines would take the leaves and they would make a tea out of it. And then they would drink that tea. And that tea would kill a certain type of fungus that people would pick up in Australia. Well, it's worked on all kinds of stuff. It'll remove tags. You know, these little skin tags people get. You coat them down with that. People have used this as a deodorant. I don't know if I would. It's kind of strong. It smells almost like solvent. But it kills fungus, the majority of fungus. Now, what it doesn't kill, the oregano oil definitely will kill. Like a lot of people get this fungus, this toenail fungus under their toenails, and it's black or brown and the nails start shriveling up and all. Well, you can take the tea tree oil and a Q-tip and just coat it down. And you do that every day for a couple weeks. Usually, it'll kill the fungus. If it doesn't, well, that's when you pick up the oregano oil and you coat your toenail down with the oregano oil. See, nails are permeable. Things will soak through it. And it will kill the fungus. Either one of those two will kill the fungus. So tea tree, and I don't recommend ingesting the tea tree oil. There are some people that say to do so. I'm not going to. I got other things to take. But, you know, tea tree oil, for what it is, that's what you use it for. Now, there's another thing. And I'll remember things as we go past these, and I'll pop back. I had a friend, Vincent Finelli. He works on a farm, and he's always got all kinds of stuff that's affecting him because of the farm. Well, he's on his show. He's on a radio. He's on GCN. He ended up with a cough, and his cough was so bad that he unfortunately tore his stomach lining and had to have an operation, so he was off the air for a while. Well, I heard about it, and I told him, I said, I'm sending you something. I want you to take it. Now, it's not lightweight. You take a tablespoon of it, and you'll see exactly what I mean when the first dose you take. It's from Planetary Herbals. It's Old Indian Wild Cherry Bark Syrup with Echinacea. Now, there are people who take this on a daily basis, not as a treatment, but as a preventative. Everybody ended up with this cough that was just lasting and lasting and lasting and lasting. And nothing that the doctors did would get rid of the cough. A lot of people that went directly into bronchitis or pneumonia even. Well, as soon as I advertised this and people came in, that ended it. I ended up with that cough. And I couldn't get rid of it. So, what, you know, I don't take, I'm not going to measure this into a tablespoon. I just simply take a little sip. This is my bottle. Nobody else is going to touch it. I just take a little sip. And I'll tell you, it'll light you up. It'll wake you up. And it'll get rid of that cough right now. So, when I sent this to Vinny, he called me up the next day. And after he got it, and his voice had changed, and he said, I don't believe this. I haven't coughed once since I started taking this stuff. So thank you very much. And I've been on his show a couple times. I'll be on his show next week, or I don't know, whenever he calls me. We have those, all right? And then there's something else. There's baking soda. Yeah, let's see, where are we at? So there's a baking soda, bicarbonate of soda. What it does is it equalizes the pH in your stomach, if you're taking it, okay? It equalizes pH. If you have an upset stomach and you take a dose of baking soda, generally what it does is it equalizes the pH and stops the chemical reaction in your stomach that's causing you to be nauseous. So that's the thing with baking soda, and you can go to Costco and buy it really cheap, and I think I got 5 pounds for $5, or I don't remember, but it's, you know, I'm going to a website right now, lourockwell.com. And you know how I talked about how you buy something on the internet, and the next thing they sell your information, and these websites, they end up automatically posting ads that have something to do with you. Now, I'd like to know what the hell leads them to believe that I need a cute bra for women over 50. Anyway. So what this article is 61 uses of baking soda. See, baking soda is not just baking soda. That stuff can be used for so many different things, it's ridiculous. Everybody knows you take baking soda and you put it in a bowl or something, put it in your refrigerator, and it absorbs smells and tastes. We have a little refrigerator that we use. We keep our medicinals in, or our extra oregano oil, our extra CBD oil. We keep it in there. And we only open it maybe once a month, but it starts getting smells. So I just take Grandma used to take a silk sock or nylon. You know, she gets a torn nylon, so she'll cut it off, and then she'll fill the bottom, the toe part of the after it's washed, of course, she'd fill the toe part of the nylon with baking soda, and then make a knot in it, and then she'd stick it in the refrigerator and one in the freezer. See, baking soda neutralizes acids, is what it does. If you have stinky stuff you're washing, like even baby's diapers, we would take a cup of baking soda and put in there on the final rinse, and it would take out the smells. Boy, there's all kinds of different, there's so many different things here. Kitty litters. Before there was all these good smelling kitty litters out there, we would take the normal clay kitty litter, and then what we would do is we would, after we washed and refilled his kitty litter pan, we would take a cup of baking soda and sprinkle it around. And it stays there and absorbs the smell. You can use baking soda to polish marble or plastic surfaces. You can use it to clean the inside of stainless steel coffee pots. There's so many different things here that you can do with baking soda besides just the stomach. Now, we have this. Everyone knows what Alka-Seltzer is. It's bicarbonate of soda and aspirin, basically. Well, prior to that, before Alka-Seltzer was invented, was this product in Mexico called Pico. It's an antacid, sodium bicarbonate and citric acid with a little sugar in it. And you take, they're pouches, okay? And my grandmother had one of these every single day. And I, as long as I was alive, or as she was alive, let me rephrase it that way, I don't ever remember her being sick, not even one day. Since she was a little kid, she would take a teaspoon of sodium bicarbonate, baking soda, in a glass of water upon rising every single day. And she used to tell me, she does that, she goes, this takes away all the nastiness that I've accumulated during the night, and it neutralizes it. Okay? I'm a kid, what do I know? You can use this to equalize your pH in your intestines if you take it as a preventative every single day. Now, we went to, and I've done this, unfortunately, many times. You go out to eat, you end up getting something that didn't quite agree with your stomach, and then you go home, you go to bed, and about 2 in the morning, you wake up, and you're like, your stomach's saying, let me out of here. Well, it depends on your mood, but generally what I do is, this Pico, there's eight pouches in a little box here. This Pico does not have the aspirin in it that Alka-Seltzer has. See, Alka-Seltzer, being an American product, wanted to be stronger than the Mexican product. But I don't use Alka-Seltzer. I use Pico instead. So I get a pouch of the Pico, tear it open, put it in water, and you stir it until there's no more bubbles. Nothing. It's just, now it's done. Then you drink it down. 3, 4, 5 minutes, you're back in bed. This stuff works every time. I've never had it not work. So these are the things that people, these are some of the things, let me put it that way. These are some of the things that people need to have all the time around them. Because you get these little things that really, they cause a liability in your life. You get a bad cold. Well, so unfortunately in this society, it's acceptable for somebody who has a communicable disease to go to work and infect everyone around there. In fact, if somebody is sick and they're working the front counter at McDonald's, it shows your intolerance when you mention it. And I do. If somebody is sick, I do not want them around food in any way, shape, or form. And in the old days,
when I was just a whippersnapper,
In the old days when people gave a damn about everyone around them, if someone was sick in a food service industry, you're home. You stay home until you're not sick. And they used to have people wearing hairnets. So, you know, you've got to take care of yourself because these people around you are not going to. And unless you're lucky like me and you have a wife who actually cares, And she'll take care of you. She'll take care of me. She'll take care of anyone who walks in the front door. And that's what we do. We take care of people. We help people. And that's why I'm doing this radio show instead of going shopping for after Thanksgiving bargains, which I think are out there, some of them anyway. And there's, you know, there's some other things here that would do just as well or differently. Everyone knows about garlic. Garlic is very, very powerful, but you need to have organic. You can't have this synthetic crap that you can buy or this genetically modified garlic. You get real garlic and you use it. There's many ways to use it. We don't sell it, but I will send people out to get it if I think that that's what they need. Eating garlic works as a preventative, and it works as a treatment as well for a lot of bacterial infestations. And then you have apple cider vinegar. Now, apple cider vinegar is an astounding creature all unto itself. When Eric was a baby, he got colicky. And the trick that we used to use on a reservation was a mixture of a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar in about 2 ounces of ice water. And then you take an eyedropper. And you make sure he's diapered up well, because you'll see in a minute why. And you put him on your knees and you bounce him up and down. And, you know, he says, "Hello, baby, let's go for a ride, baby." And then you take that eyedropper and you stick it in his mouth and go, and you're going to give him 2 or 3 or so eyedroppers of this apple cider vinegar mixture. He's not going to like that too much. Eric sure didn't. But you bounce him up and down, and that stuff gets down into your stomach and it breaks up. It breaks up the gas bubbles. I mean, right now, it breaks them up. And when the gas bubbles will lock up in the intestines and it won't allow things to come or go. Well, when they break up, everything goes. And that's what happened with Eric. And it's, you know, I'm sure he's not going to listen to this show, so I don't care. Now here's another thing. Now, if you get, as an adult, if you get heavy intestinal pains, it depends on what's causing them. But I recall when I was younger, I was working in Hollywood. I was a cop. And I woke up one morning and I could not get out of bed. I hurt so bad. My intestines hurt so bad. I could barely crawl. And I called my girlfriend, who was a macrobiologist at USC, told her what was going on. And she said, "Make a strong cup of tea right now." So I crawled into the kitchen and I put the water on. I made a strong cup of tea. And then she said, "Now add a tablespoon of soy sauce." I go, "What? Add a tablespoon of soy sauce." Okay, I did. And I drank it. And within 5 minutes, I started passing gas and I had to go to the bathroom and I could get up and walk and the pain was gone. And I called her back later and said, what happened? She said that you were colicky like a baby was. You had gas bubbles locked up. And the mixture of tannic acid and the soy sauce would just attack those bubbles and blow them up. And that's what happened. And now, otherwise, I would have ended up going to the doctor, going to the emergency ward, having to have an operation probably. Who knows? But there's so many things out there that are so simple to use. And there's no excuse for us not knowing this stuff, because the knowledge is out there. Vinegar also, if you have, my mom always used vinegar, apple cider vinegar, as a rinse for her hair when she washed her hair. Now, my family's always had red tinges to their hair on their head. So you would take about, what my mom did is she took a cup of apple cider vinegar and put it in a quart of water. And that quart container always sat in the shower. And after she'd done rinsing her hair from washing it and whatever else she did, then she would take the apple cider vinegar rinse and she would rinse her hair with it. And so did my sister. And in fact, we even did that for dogs when we would wash our dog. And by the way, tea tree oil. You know, you go to a groomer and they pay X amount of dollars to have your dog washed. And you know what? If you want a tea tree wash, it's more. It's like $10 more. Yes, do it yourself. Get animal shampoo, whatever it is, whatever you want, animal shampoo. Then you buy a 1 ounce bottle of tea tree oil. And you dump the shampoo out. You put it in, what I tell people to do is warm it up lightly on the stove. And then dump about half of the tea tree oil in there, or less. Now, that depends on the shampoo and how strong you want this smell. Let me tell you what this does. When you wash your dog with a shampoo with tea tree in it, it keeps the fleas off of them, and it keeps the ticks off of them. In fact, I've seen, I watched Grandpa take tea tree oil and a Q-tip, and when the dog had a tick really embedded in it, he'd take a tea tree oil on the Q-tip and coat the tick with it, and within seconds, that tick was letting loose. The stuff is strong. So you can make your own tea tree shampoo. But they would use it as a rinse. We would use it as also, if you have non-specific urethritis, or in other words, a bladder infection, apple cider vinegar. You don't need the antibiotics. Remember, the more antibiotics you use, the more resistant your body becomes to it. So if you have non-specific urethritis or a bladder infection to where it burns when you pee, or, you know, you take about a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar and about 2 ounces of water, and you drink it 3 times a day or with each meal. It doesn't matter if you take it before or after. It doesn't matter. And it sounds strange to say this, but the apple cider vinegar neutralizes and equalizes your body's pH balance. And what happens at that point, because this bladder infection is bacterial, what happens at this point is your body kills the bacteria. This happens fast, too. It won't take more than a day or two, and you're cured. My mom had the apple cider vinegar drink. She had a bladder infection so bad when she was carrying me that after that, and this is what the doctor prescribed for, was apple cider vinegar and water. So after that, for the next 20 years, she'd just take it every day. Every day. The apple cider vinegar worked that way. It's also great for cleaning your coffee pot. In fact, we got this damn glass and stainless steel coffee pot, and we have hard water here. No matter what filter you put on, this stuff is so micro-thin and small that it's going to get through. And it loads up the coffee pot about a week. And all I do is take a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar, put it in there, swish it around, rinse it out. All the marks are gone. If you have a shower stall door that has hard water on it, put it in a spritzer like my wife does, and spray the door. Give it a few minutes and rinse it off. It's gone. All of the hard water is gone. So you have apples. You have the apple cider vinegar. You have garlic that you can play with. There's honey. This is idiot-proof. Honey with a little bit of cinnamon. Make a tea out of it. If you have a sore throat, drink it down. There are 1,000 things out there that can help you. This is just a few of them. And you can find this stuff that we have, the oregano oil, the tea tree oil, the old Indian wild cherry bark syrup. I'm telling you, that stuff is amazing. And the colloidal silver. And the pico, of course. Sodium bicarbonate, the Mexican Alka-Seltzer. You go to survivalenterprises.com, you go to se1.us. You can call us 800-753-1981. That's 800-753-1981. Our phones are available 24 hours a day. I'm not. Our phones are on for us to take to call to answer from like 9 in the morning till 8 at night. And if we don't answer, you just leave a message, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. So anyway, I hope I gave you some information to help you out. Any questions, any comments, at armchairsurvivalist.com at the bottom of the page is my email address. You go ahead and email me and ask me questions, make comments, I don't care, whatever. If you need something, if you need some help, if you have a question, just get a hold of me. I don't care. We're here to help. So this is the Armchair Survivalist signing off. You keep your nose in the air, ear to the ground, and I will